Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and thank you for tuning in to episode number 18. And if y'all don't know, this is the Kern. It is the weekend of all weekends for everybody in powerlifting, and I'm pretty freaking excited. I haven't really kept up with everybody that's going in, just kind of the major players. And I do want to give a huge shout out to Randy, who was on our episode, I think 16. Randy Lee is an awesome coach out there, and she's coming with her A game. And if you haven't been watching her videos and really kind of following her Instagram, to me, it's very inspirational. She breaks it down. She's very real on her Instagram about her struggles and where her mindset is going in. And I can admire that, you know, because a lot of times going in, you know, maybe if you know you got competition, you're hiding that a little bit, you know? So best of luck to you, Randy. I wish you the best on that platform. And for episode number 18, I was super stoked to have not only Miss Hopper Regan, Amanda Kohatsu, but I also got Miss Crispy Creams and Sierra Liz. So that is Sierra and Christy, who train out and are good friends with Amanda out in Orange County area. They were heading over to the Kern, so I was pretty lucky to get them all together. I was like super stoked. And they're there right now and they're having a great time. And we got to sit down and do a Q&A with them. So not only did you guys get to hear from Amanda, but you got all four of us, which is kind of cool. Now, if you follow us on Instagram, I put down a golden mic every couple weeks. It's a picture of our golden mic logo. And that's where you can ask questions to our followers. Questions to our guests and myself, anything you want as far as powerlifting goes. And if you follow us, you might have noticed that there were some funky questions. And I was kind of caught off guard, like, okay, that's an interesting question. Can you elaborate on that? And after a while, I noticed there was kind of a theme to these questions. So I later on figured out that there was something personal that was happening with Amanda. And we talk a little bit about that at the end of this episode. So after our Q&A, I kind of ask her what's going on, how she's feeling, what's going on with the whole situation. And she does break it down for us. And I want to thank you ladies who are always sending me screenshots and sharing these episodes. It's because of you guys doing that, that it helps grow. Because I am not some huge follower. I am not somebody who has a social media impact. And really, the way that we grow is by your reviews, by your sharing of pictures and things like that. And the more you do that, the more I love it. And it's just, it brings me a lot of joy to know that you guys are enjoying these episodes. And I love your feedback as well. So if there's anything you want to hear or somebody in particular you want to hear, let me know. I've reached out to a lot of people and some people say no, but most of them are pretty down to kind of talk about powerlifting. And with that, I did want to talk about two reviews that we got on iTunes. This one is from Roll0415, which I'm thinking is Bay Area, San Francisco area. She said, "I love listening to this podcast. Not only is it empowering for supportive of women. Gosh, I can't even speak today. Not only is it empowering and supportive of women, but Heidi discusses real struggles and successes of real women. I'm not a powerlifter, but I still love listening every week." Thank you so much. And this one is from Barnstia. "I just recently found podcasts. I know, I just came out from under a rock. Hearing the stories of these women and how they got started, their struggles, it's helped me realize that I'm not alone. There are other women out there going through the same things that I am, and hearing how these women rose above their adversities just makes me want to keep pushing harder. It's truly inspirational, and I'm happy I found this podcast." Thank you so much for that. I mean, just hearing all of this for me is a huge impact, and I want you to just keep them coming. And this episode is brought to you by Core Strength and Performance, my gym out in Huntsville, Alabama. We just help people live a little stronger. And if you're interested in powerlifting, open gym, we have classes. We're kind of roundabout strength gym, and we are looking into doing some powerlifting going forward. So if you are interested, drop us a message. You can email us and find us on Instagram at CoreSNP and The Future is Female Powerlifting on Instagram. Just take away the, it's just Future is Female Powerlifting. And connect with us, please. And let's get it started with the ladies. So, coffee.
I'm going to pretend this is coffee.
I wish I had my coffee.
I set it down on the street corner and I accidentally left it there.
Oh, that's sad. Was it a good coffee?
Anyway.
So you guys are prepared to go to the Kern today. Today? Is it you going today?
Tomorrow.
Okay. And
but
so
a lot of people don't realize how far it is for us in LA. We're making this journey today to get ready for going tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's San Diego's kind of a drive for you guys, right?
Yeah. When we went to the Anaheim Fit Expo, it took us like 5 hours to drive on a Saturday morning. Yeah.
Why so long?
Oh, the San Diego. So we live in three parts of LA, really two parts. She lives up in Pasadena area, so that adds another hour to the drive.
Pasadena's nice. It's cute out there.
It's nice. Nice and far from everything.
Well, I feel so lucky that I got all three of you guys on here today. So as we ask questions, you guys can just, answer as you please. But we had, what is a piece of powerlifting advice you've gotten that's helped you in some way?
You want to start?
I didn't just show up.
That's numero uno.
The easiest and best piece of advice I ever got was from Darren out in Hawaii. And he was always just show up. Just show up every day, no matter what. Like, you're here, and as long as you get here, you'll be able to get the work done. Especially having that, like, team around you like we did in Hawaii. It was just, like, just show up to the gym. Like, once you're there, like, you're not going to not do your workout, you know?
Yeah, totally.
You're there, so just show up.
That's good. That's a good one.
Right.
Well, for me, it was – I kept on hearing, like, it's about who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of – proven to me when I moved here, because I surrounded myself with stronger people, smarter people, held me accountable. Like, these girls will call me out if my depth is not there. They'll say, okay. They won't go, good job. You know, all the time. It just, you know, I'll max out. And they said, okay, well, remember we said put your foot this way. It would have been a little faster that way, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's made me better. So I guess being open to criticism.
Right, from the right people. I think that's important because you don't always get that.
I'm not here to just have fun. So I'm going to surround myself with people who obviously I enjoy being around, but also who are smart, strong, honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that advice because it makes me sound smart.
Take that hand off your chin.
I've received so much good advice since I moved into powerlifting from CrossFit. But potentially, like, the advice that got me to get pretty strong and get to the place where I'm at now is when I met my boyfriend. And no, this isn't original advice. Other people had told me, but the way he told me kind of got me to change my perspective. And he basically told me to stop trying to be good at both sports and stop trying to be good at all fitness. If I want to be good at powerlifting, I had to focus more on powerlifting and all the other accessories and all the other things that it takes to train that energy system. Mm-hmm. I had been trying to double dip into CrossFit and powerlifting competitively, and it was very apparent that I wasn't good at CrossFit. I talked to you about that on our last podcast, how much I suck at CrossFit, but I loved it. But it was robbing my gains, and it was robbing me of my recovery ability to recover for powerlifting.
Yeah.
And so T sat me down and kind of gave me the more scientific principles of why I should specify at least seasonally for powerlifting. And it was literally 3 months later I got my first total, which is an elite total, and it just sort of snowballed from there. So I think the best advice I got was to try and at least seasonally, part of the year, focus on one principle at a time instead of trying to be okay at everything.
Right, right. Do you think, was there a reason why you hadn't done that or why you were struggling to separate those two?
Sure, I had orthorexia.
Yeah.
I was addicted to exercise and addicted to trying to be as small as possible.
Yeah.
And I think if I could go back and really look at it in the mirror, that's what it was. But that's only in 3 years in retrospect, right?
Yeah.
In the moment, it was, I just didn't want to be told what I can and can't do.
Yeah.
But I think when I look back on it, I was just scared, petrified of gaining weight and losing my athleticism that I had gained from CrossFit, because it's a great collection of skills.
Yeah.
And I miss having that.
Yeah.
And I don't love having the extra few pounds that I have on from focusing mostly on powerlifting, but I could manipulate my diet and change things now. But at the time, I think I was just afraid of losing that conditioning. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women are afraid of that. But when I lost a little bit of the conditioning, I picked up a huge percentage of strength.
Yeah.
And another set of skills that propelled me to have a whole business.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. So, who would have ever thought? You gained weight and then you got a better business.
I had zero followers, by the way. With abs, and nobody will ever know because I had 2,000 followers.
You probably had more than me, so that's okay.
So, you know, you guys are missing out.
Yeah. You know, Sierra, you know, I used to live in the same building as Darren.
Yeah, I listened to that when I heard your podcast with Leo.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so funny how such a full circle. So it's and yeah. Still to this day, I hear his name, you know, from all different people. And the guy's not on social media, really. I mean, he's like barely on. Yeah.
He calls it his IG circle thingy. That's what he does. He's like, I don't really post on Instagram, but I post on my IG circle thingy. I'm like, don't do the story.
That's
T.
Yeah,
I saw it on your IG. I was like, I didn't post that. And he's like, no, you posted it on your circle thingy. And I'm like, no, your circle thingy. It's on the top. So you posted it on the circle thingy. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, at least he knows it. I feel people like, so many people don't even know it. Like, I've showed people and they're like, what is that?
I've never had a Steve Papula.
Yeah.
She has absolutely no idea what a story is. In fact, yesterday I told T that he could archive posts.
Yeah.
And I told him he could save posts to like post later.
Right.
He had absolutely no, you know, he has no clue. Yeah.
That is, it's so cute. That's my husband too.
Darren's twice as age almost.
Yeah, Darren's 54.
Yeah. All right. So Darren's doing good.
Yeah, Darren's doing
well.
So, you know, we'll
my husband does a dad joke of the day on our gym page. So every day, Monday through Friday, he does a dad joke. So for a while, it's like, hey, you should put like a GIF or something on there. So it's like, you know, added a little extra. So he didn't realize that you can add a GIF by, you know, swiping up. So he added a GIF from the keyboard. The keyboards have actual pictures. So it's like a square photo, right? So it's not like a little like emoji guy. It's like a photo of, you know, it's just like a regular GIF that you would put on Facebook. So I was like, why do you always put that? He goes, well, you told me to add a GIF. And I said, yeah, but you know, like this, he was like, oh, that's the only thing I saw. And I just thought it was so weird that he's like, I'm going to change it. I'm all, do not change it. I think it's hilarious that you put that on. So if you go every day, it's so funny. And people ask me that. They're like, why does he choose the picture? I'm like, because it's him. That's why.
Assuming he's a person.
Yes. I love it. And it is something that's like, I'm like, don't change it. It's like, you know, like my teeth. I don't want to change my tooth. He told me, don't change it. It's you. All right. So the next question, what cues have helped you the best in each of the three lifts? So what do you know now about training that you wish you knew when you started? So there's probably two parts to that question.
Okay. So let's dissect that. You take squat, maybe. I'll take bench. You take deadlift. Okay, go. Squat.
Why do I always go first?
Okay, you want to start with that now?
I start with squat. So I think that the number one thing that helped me was keeping your back tight. Through that, it's like we always said, yell like elbows. When a lot of people, I think, dissect, like take that too simple of a term and they're just like, elbows, okay. And they just like shoot their elbows forward, and that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like retracting the scapula, keeping your back tight, pulling the bar down into you, and then forcing your chest up this way, which, you know, shortened is just moving your elbows forward, of course. But that is what's really, I was a pancake squatter for a long time, and that's really what like took my squat to the next level, was learning how to engage my back in the squat and learning how to keep my like sternum vertical, where even if your chest isn't always up, you just need to focus on that sternum being vertical. So you can still have that forward lean, which is what I think a lot of people like don't realize, is that it's okay to have the forward lean. Like you don't have to be an upright squatter, like a weightlifter. Stable. Exactly. You need to have the bar on your back. You need to have it stable. And that sternum should be vertical and facing the wall in front of you, not chest up. So definitely keeping your back tight.
Yeah. I like that. Elbows. So that would be
elbows into your armpits. Yeah.
So yeah, I always say to my clients to, squeeze the back of their armpits as if someone they don't like is trying to tickle them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I said, that tickle you. So I reached back there. You know, we gotta make it simple because I don't say you don't like it. I say, like, I'm gonna tickle you.
Well, maybe. Oh,
yeah. But here's the thing.
Well, that's kind of creepy.
They might like it. They might be like, okay.
Please do.
I go with someone creepy.
Okay.
I definitely know that's gonna be a deal breaker there.
Like, okay. Someone creepy.
For bench press, I think there's quite a few cues that have helped me, but to keep, I believe firmly in keeping it simple, especially with bench, because bench to me is the most complex movement in powerlifting.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say pressing back towards your face off the chest is probably one of the most underutilized cues in powerlifting. I see a lot of people losing a lot of poundage on their maxes from sort of just thinking that they should press upwards towards the ceiling. And with bench press, especially if you utilize, and you should be utilizing, some sort of arching or tucking of the scapula to protect your shoulder joint, if you press upwards off the chest, upwards when you're basically in a decline position with your thoracic spine is basically away from you. So once you press out and up, straight up in a straight vertical line, you're basically working against the line that you should be. And so you're kind of having a fight to bring it back towards the midline. So I would say pressing back towards your face off the chest. And I would say squeezing the lats and activating your, what Sierra was saying, your upper back, but also your middle back as well with the bench press. A lot of people think of the bench as a chest movement, and traditionally in bodybuilding, it is used to grow your chest. But in powerlifting, in order to get the most amount of tonnage on the bar and get those big PRs, you have to utilize your entire body. So pushing away on the ground using what we call like leg drive is great, but also squeezing the back to stabilize and give you sort of like a little bit of like, think about like rubber band tension. So you're going to pull all the tension into the rubber band and then off the chest, explode and let it go. But you, in order to pull it, you almost have to think about rowing the bar into your chest, right? So squeezing, rowing the bar into the chest and then exploding upwards and back towards your face. Those are my two favorite cues for the bench, but it still probably needs 50 more.
Yeah.
So I found it so
complicated. I, you know, one cue that I use that is probably along the same lines and I learned from a Swede Burns is reaching. So he, as the bar comes in, he tells people reach. And that can kind of visually pulls that same mentality of what you're talking about.
Yeah, you want to bring your chest towards the bar. Yeah. And you never want to stop bringing the chest towards the bar. So as you're pressing off the chest and back towards your face, you want to continue bringing the chest upwards and backwards in the line that you want to bring the bar. So all of that is fancy and long terminology for create thoracic extension, right? So we want to reach our chest forward, meaning that we're bringing the back tighter together. So if you can figure out thoracic movement and mobility, and then you can figure out the actual line of push that you should be creating from the chest, which really looks like that.
Yeah.
You want it to look sort of slightly diagonal.
Yeah.
If you can figure that out, regardless of where you're at with weight now, you'll probably add 10-15% to your bench within that session.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of just getting stronger.
Yeah. That's so simple.
The deadlift's an interesting one. Right now, I pull sumo in competition. I've done both. They're pretty even, or at least they were. Sumo is a little bit more. So it's an interesting one because it's going to be kind of different for everybody, right? Yeah. Like the thing that I had to come to terms with was like I had to figure it out myself, like with my own leverages and all that fun stuff. Yeah. But I'll talk a little bit about sumo first. But for me specifically, screwing through the floor and feeling like one and grounded with the floor was the most important. I see a lot of people approach the bar and just try to conventional it up. Yeah. And I used to do that because I would deadlift with aggression or sumo. Yeah. And Amanda's really good at this because she can be get in that aggressiveness, but also get that tightness.
Yeah.
So practicing your technique is super important. And also creating that tension before you pull. Because if you go up there and you grip it and rip it, like I love to do, you're going to have problems. You're gonna have problems towards the top.
Yeah.
So getting nice, and you'll hear this all the time, getting nice and wedged in, screwing your feet through the floor and getting that tension in your glutes and pressing your knees out. As you pull the slack out of the bar and try to bring that chest up, it's going to be a much better position. Now, when I do that, I'm still kind of like scrunch forward just because my legs are so long, but that tension is what basically starts to propel it up. There's nowhere else to, for the bar to go but up. There should be no clanging of the weight of the bar and the weights. That tension should be already pulled out and then push. And then also the patience. I like to show my clients Steffi Cohen's poles because I say, look, she is pushing from the ground for like 5 seconds, and then it comes up super easy because she has created, it's kind of like bench. If you get that technique, the weight, it's just be a hydraulic. It's just going to kind of go up. You have that tension, you have that power, and it's just kind of, we're all sumo pullers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Do you have anything to add with sumo? It's just,
how much time do you have?
Right.
Yeah.
With your bench, I was like, you're going to do this. Yeah. So I guess for me, this isn't exactly a cue, but get set up before you freaking go,
patience
with it. That's what I did my last meet prep too, is just kind of have a music on, approach the bar, think of everything cue, rather than just like, which as I get better technique, maybe I can bring a little bit back. But, for me, patience and thinking about actually using my legs.
My
chest.
Isn't that funny how I have to think the same thing? Like, don't forget about your legs. Like, you're just so thinking about everything else. That, to me, that's almost the last thing I think. And it's funny because I actually changed my sumo up. So I pull from the top now instead of, dive bombing, pulling into it. And that has taught me so much fucking patience. I can't even begin to tell you, because that bar does not pop off the floor. And so I find myself sitting there, and my cue is keep pulling. Because if I'm not in a bad position, I'm in a good position. It's just stuck at some part right above my shins. And so I keep telling myself, keep pulling. And if I wait long enough, then it's going to pop up.
If you give up 1 second,
yes,
before, and that's why I think we saw someone at the gym yesterday, do that. I was just like, if you just try one more second. It would just gone so easily.
But sumo is just all about patience. If you break ground, there should be no reason that you don't lock it out.
Yep.
If you break ground properly with the right amount of technique and strength, you really shouldn't, the lockout should be the easiest freaking part of the sumo. If you're sort of uncurling yourself at the top of a sumo, you're not doing a sumo. You're just doing an open, like conventional, and you need to rethink why you're doing a sumo.
Yeah.
The lockout should never be a problem.
Yeah.
Just pay me next time. Like, fuck.
I will call you out. The fucking lockout needs to be locked out, dude.
The sumo should always be harder from the floor to the transition. Once you make it over the transition, which is for anybody who's listening, is more the part where you clear the knee. If you're having problems there, then that means you started wrong.
Yeah.
So you need to probably start from the top with the sumo. So I would start with like a 60-70% weight and use a zero tempo up. Yep. Then from zero tempo up, pause at the top and return down with like a 3-4 tempo to understand where your natural sort of bar path should be.
Yep.
Because normally if you're doing a set of 2-4, it's normally the second and third reps that look the best in the sumo. So if you use that sort of 0-1-4, meaning a zero tempo up, a 1 pause at the top, inhale again, brace again, and then return down slowly. Video that from the side profile, and you're gonna see where your bar, where you need to start, where your position needs to be in the beginning, and then just mimic that from then on. So with the sumo, it just takes a little bit of, like Christy was saying, a lot of patience, but a lot of analyzing of your own position and figuring out what's right. Not everybody should look like Yuri Belkin. Not everybody needs to be completely vertical, like Sierra was saying for the squat. Not everyone needs to sit completely upright with their legs. Steffi doesn't look like that. I don't look like that. Sierra doesn't look like that. We pull over 500 pounds. So it can be done in different positions, but you need to find the right one for you. If you're copying Yuri and you're weak, you have weak hips or weaker hips or not, you don't have the mobility, or you have really long femurs, then you need to rethink it. You need to rethink it. You can't mimic everybody else's. Rather, you should mimic your best second and third rep, like I just said, in that tempo range. And you're probably going to find where you're best at with sumo position.
I, you know, I tell people to pull, you know, once they've sort of gotten that pattern, I tell them, you know, you need to have a bunch of good first reps. If your second and third looks great, we need to work on your first rep. So once you've established, you only get one. I don't give a fuck what the second and third looks like. We need to look about the first. So once you do figure that out, that pattern, then it is important.
It's like as upright as possible for you.
Right, exactly.
It's like my as possible upright is not the same as yours. It's not the same as yours. And definitely isn't the same as Yuri Belkin. Like, definitely.
No one is like Yuri Belkin.
No one looks like
not
that.
Human.
So but people look and they're like, well, he's elite and he pulls, you know, he pulls 900. And so, like, I need to pull like that.
But it would be nice if we all looked like that. It would be, but we're not all built that way. So I think that essentially what we're all trying to say is everybody's a little bit different, but you need to find the most efficient position for you. And I promise you, with sumo, like, Christy was saying, curling your back, reaching down and just gripping rip is the wrong position for you all the time.
Always load the tension. That's how I always feel like you should feel like tension, and it should feel like hard when we're, you know, screwing ourselves.
That's what she said.
Under the bar, the squat. Keep telling me more. You know, everything's just like tightness and stuff like that.
Keep it going.
Oh my goodness, you're just setting this up. Knocking him down, he's sending him up. All right, next question. So this one comes from Nicole. She trains at my gym. Very strong, wonderful, wonderful woman. How do you think a mindset impacts performance? And what do you think is the best way to train that aspect of the sport?
How do I think mindset affects performance? Is that what the first part was?
How do you think mindset impacts performance, and what do you think is the best way to train that aspect of the sport?
I'm going to put your mind, and I'm going to disagree with probably whatever they're thinking of saying right now. It doesn't fucking matter.
Okay. Tell me.
Like, what matters and what's brought me to where I'm at now is not my mindset. It's my, but maybe my overall mindset is do the fucking work, show up, put in your schedule and get it done. And that's not necessarily a mindset, that's habitual. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I have some sort of unlocked, you know, the secret book type mindset. I'm not manifesting anything. This is not, I'm not burning sage to pull 500. I know that I was going to pull 500 because I showed up every single week and did the numbers that were prescribed to me. I put in all of the hours of work. I got all of the hours of sleep. I ate all of the meals. It wasn't an accident.
Right.
So I think we need to sort of take a moment and yes, being positive is great, but we also need to understand that we can't rely on promises and positivity and all that stuff. We need to rely on the controllable aspects of our lives, and the controllable aspects of our life are scheduling it, showing up, executing, and prioritizing.
That's
an overall mindset of being a disciplined individual, but it's not spiritual.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you look at it. Like, if you look at it the way you're talking about, like, the secret book and all that, then, yeah, that's like you can only manifest so much. It's like when people say, you know, I leave it in God's hands, or, you know, but, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, you do, but you have to control that as well. You know what I mean? There are parts of your life that you have decision-making on.
Yeah, and that's what I love about lifting is it's one of those things that I know I can do. I can go into the gym. I can put the time in. Look, yes, having a piss poor attitude is not going to help.
Right.
It's only going to hurt your performance in the gym that day. But damn, I'll promise you this, you showing up every day with, you know, your various roller coasters of attitudes, like we all have, especially as women, I hate to say it, but you know, we all have different levels of emotion and enthusiasm about the gym every day. You showing up every day consistently and doing the work with bad, good, or indifferent attitude versus someone who doesn't show up consistently, you're going to perform better.
Yeah.
Regardless of how positive that person is. If that person's positive, but they're sitting at home and not getting the work done, mm-hmm. it's not going to help them.
Yeah.
Good for them that they're positive. I've seen a lot of negative people break world records.
Yeah.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I think it's just important to go back to that, because sometimes we get caught up, and we all three do, in how we're feeling.
Yeah.
And we all have to remind each other, girl, I know that's how you're feeling, but you just got to get the work done. Even on the worst day, it's better than just not showing up.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to say that a positive attitude is a bad, you know, not important. It is important. And don't come work out with me if you have a bad attitude like that, because you're going to be kicked out of my crew. But I think that, you know, we all have to push through some really tough days in the gym with each other, regardless. It might be something that has something nothing to do with the gym. You know, there's days where all of us are in the gym, and for different reasons, we're all breaking down and having emotional outbursts.
Oh, yeah.
That's happened just recently. So, you know, and so, yeah, would the session be better if we were all in great moods? Possibly, yeah. But we still show up and we get it done. And I think when you're having those days where you're not feeling your best and you're not feeling motivated, it's that it's the action of showing up that gives you that instant gratification that you are doing something for yourself, yeah, and that you're worthy of your goals.
So did you guys do anything in particular that might be like, maybe to help level that? Like, do you meditate? Do you pray? Do you journal? Do you do any flow? Do you, you know, microdose psilocybin, or, you know, like, is there things that you like that's not, you're in LA, let's not out of the word. Okay.
Starbies every day. I mean, I definitely agree with Amanda. But you've developed that confidence, that you trust the process that you're in, you know, that it's going to work out. For me, who's more of like a mental lifter, like, I failed lift because I don't believe in myself. I don't believe that all that work I put in will make me that great. So I'm still kind of working on that. So mindset for me, day to day, I'm going to do the work. I'm in my breakdowns. I might have a shit day. I might have, you know, not be the most positive. I might tell myself I suck and stuff like that. That's fine. I'm still going to get the work done. But when it comes to meet day, I do have to, the mentality aspect comes into play a little bit more about putting my mind, the motions out in my mind more into the work. Mm-hmm. So I can have more of a mindset like Amanda of, this is the work. I'm doing this work. It has nothing to do with all this other shit. So I'm going to visualize me succeeding and not failing. That's like that little part.
Yeah.
It's not a big part of everything, because most of it comes from the process of doing the work every day. But for me, I'm going to the bar and go, I don't want to go in the bar and go, oh my God, I'm not going to get this. What if I don't get this?
Well, yeah, that's a
given. But I have to train my mind a little bit so I'm not like that, just because of the where I'm at in my own life.
Yeah, no, that's a given. Right. So on performance day, I should say it's a whole different ball game when it comes to like your mindset, because there is a whole another level of like nerves, mm-hmm, and self-doubt that comes into performance day. I would still say, like, going back to like remembering that the work was put in and that you earned your way there,
yeah,
is a really good tool that we all use on performance day. Don't get me wrong, I get nervous for everything. I'm not even going to do a large, Christy did the Fit Expo this past January. I will not do that ever, because I'm not a crowd lifter. I don't lift for large crowds. I don't like it. It's not my forte. This one traveled all the way to Australia to compete in a huge Arnold Expo. That's just not my forte. So obviously mine does play a huge role on how I perform as well. And I would say there is things that I do sort of cerebrally to control my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, I guess it's not as like fun and like, memeable. You know what I mean? It's not, I use a lot of sports psychology to use visualization. So you asked me about tools and things like meditation. So I wouldn't say that I meditate, because I don't want to insult the process of meditation. I do practice controlled breathing. I suppose that is very like closely aligned with meditation. Yep. I try to do that as frequently as possible. But within that controlled breathing, I normally spend at least 20 to 30 minutes of visualizing. And I will say that visualization helped me a lot when it came to me getting injured. Christy can tell you when she moved here, I hadn't squatted in five and a half, six months.
Wow.
Due to my knee being sort of injured. I think we talked about my injury a little bit last time. And recently I've decided that I want to give full power a go before attempting to fix my knee. And so I got with my coach and we decided that I probably couldn't squat volume, but I could squat singles with some rest in between the singles, as long as I wasn't building up all the fluid in my knee by doing large sets.
Right.
And so week one, I took like 355 or something like that. And everyone looked around and they were like, what the fuck? Your squats look perfect. Like I hadn't really changed much. I was a little nervous, but my squat form itself looked really similar to where it was before I had gotten injured. Wow. And I would attribute a lot of that to me visualizing. I would sound a little obsessive, but I spent hours and hours, especially in the beginning stages of me being injured, re-watching my own videos of my squat in fear that I would forget how to squat. And then from there, I didn't need the videos anymore because I literally would meditate or control breathing and I would visualize myself squatting so much that I could almost feel it. I could almost feel the knurling in my hands. And if you ask my boyfriend, I don't know this personally because I don't remember, but he told me that I actually dream about squatting and I can, he can see me sort of like bracing my belly and stuff.
That is fantastic.
I have to say he did the same thing when he was preparing for his last meet before he retired, but I don't know if I got it from him like subconsciously, but when you ask me about like tools, mental things that I do, that's something that I picked up a long time ago when I lived in San Francisco when I did yoga, and I just applied it here sort of coincidentally because I really felt desperate that I was going to lose my ability to squat again, or I would just forget, which sounds funny, but if you've ever been injured, it really does feel like that. It feels like you're going to forget how to do the movement as if it's like some sort of complicated dance that we all learn. But so I would say that.
So did you do a specific type of breathing, like box breathing, or was it just listening to your breaths, counting your breaths, something simple?
Yeah, it's mostly just counting my breaths. Okay. I find when I try to do like, I had gotten some breathing advice from like a physiotherapist and things like that. And to be honest with you, when I tried those methods, I felt so caught up in doing it correctly.
Yeah.
Because I'm an athlete and a coach, and so I feel like I was overly analyzing it and getting caught up in the action and the technique and not in just letting go and letting it do what it was supposed to be doing. So I went back to my old yoga breathing of like a 5 count. Honestly, I was so anxious when I started. I had to start with a 3 count in, 3 count out.
Yeah, that's me too.
Which if you just do that right now at home, that's like very short.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a normal breath.
Yeah.
So when you're constantly mouth breathing, when you're anxious, 3 counts through the nose is a lot harder than it sounds. And, you know, then you kind of just add seconds to each of those things. And that really, really does help if anyone's in that sort of funk. Even if you're not, I think that's a good tool.
I think that's wonderful. That's a great tool I think somebody could use. And I've done something similar, not with lifts. So now that I think about it, it was more other things, you know, just reliving and thinking about those things in positive manners with the breathing. And it's funny, when I tried to do specific type of breathing, I got more anxious and then my breathing was more shallow. And I'm like, this sucks. I can't like do it this long, or I can't hold it this long, or I can't push it out this long. And then, so if I just...
It's like a sport.
Yeah. Like, damn it, it's not a competition.
I know.
Anything from you?
I journal every day.
Okay, that's cool.
Every day when I wake up. Yeah, I like wake up and I like say like three nice things about myself.
Oh yeah, you got.
Yeah, I say like three really nice things about myself. I say five things that I'm grateful for that I have already, and then five things that I'm grateful for that I don't have yet.
Wonderful.
So like kind of manifesting it and like bringing it into myself. So like when I was getting ready for Australia last year, I was like, I am grateful for a 200 kilo squat.
Right.
I'm grateful for a 507 deadlift. I am grateful for, you know, I don't know. Or like my car. I manifested my car when I had it. I put it on a vision board. I had a vision board. I don't have it anymore, but I used to have a vision board and I had a blue Honda Fit and it was on my vision board and I wanted it to be a manual and I waited and I waited and I waited and probably like a month later, that's how I found my car.
Dreams do come true. Yeah. You can get a Honda Fit too if you try hard enough.
I was thinking it would be a Corvette, maybe a Lexus. She said a Honda Fit manual.
Yeah, I wanted it. I wanted it to be blue. I wanted it to be manual, and I wanted a Honda Fit, and I did. And
hey, for everyone listening, we are staggered in age. So for a lot of you guys that listen to Heidi's podcast, you guys are probably more closer, seems like, from the feedback I got to Sierra's age. Sierra's 24, and I'm almost 34, and Christy's 29. For some of you, a Honda Fit is on your vision board, yes! And you get that shit, girl. You get that
shit.
You lived
in Hawaii. You know what it's like? I had a 98 Toyota Corolla that I replaced every single thing between the front wheels, including everything in the engine, like all of the like, oh my God, like wheel bearings. It's from like wheel bearings to brakes. Every single thing that you can replace on a car, I replaced so that I needed, needed a new car.
And you got that car.
I needed it.
You got that 200K squat too, bitch.
So I get just like, I just write things and I pretend that I already have them. Like, I'm grateful that I have this because it's already mine.
Exactly.
It's already mine, so I'm grateful for it. But as far as like lifting goes, I'm kind of with you. I'm not motivated at all, ever.
I'm just disciplined.
I just go to the gym because I don't have any other choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's so automatically part of Sierra's life. Mm-hmm. Like, Sierra grew up with athletic parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I met her, I really related to her work ethic, which is strange because I'm 10 years older than her. But she does have a very, and same with Christy, they're both very, very dedicated.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't use the word motivated because on most days, I mean, I know these girls very well, we are not motivated. We're just not.
We talk to Peter all the time, and I'm like my boyfriend, and I'm like, I don't want to go to the gym.
Yeah, we don't want to go to the gym.
I don't
want to
go to the bench. Like, I don't want to go deadlift.
Some days you feel like your arms are on fire and your knees are popping and your back hurts.
I don't want to go. But,
we'll
go to the beach.
Yeah. But what we always, and we'll joke about that, like, oh, fuck it, let's just forget it. We'll go to the beach. And every time we end up
go to the gym anyway.
Yeah, every time. And that's why I hang out with her, because even though she is really, really young, she's got that dedication and that drive. And I think it's so important to state that sometimes it's not info.
It's not info.
It's just what it is. It's work. It's part of our life.
Right.
It's part of everything you do.
That's how I chose where I was going to live.
Like, yeah,
when I first moved here,
you
want
to go to?
I was like, all right, I think I might want to live in like Orange because I want to go to OC Strength. And then I was like, oh no, but like, I kind of want to live in Alhambra because that's close to Mission. And then everyone's like, are you really like picking where you're going to live based on where your gym is?
And that's why I pick Long Beach.
Yeah.
There's a few gyms around here that I go to.
Exactly.
So.
It's like, that's how I chose here. That's how I chose where to live. Like in Hawaii, I was living with someone from Mona Barbell. Like,
I think most of your listeners are the same way. It's part of their life. It's part of their, and they're searching for this thing that probably doesn't really exist that much. You know, it's like, they need to understand that we have the exact same bad days. We have the exact same early mornings where you wake up and you're like,
I don't want to.
Or we have, you know, we all have our periods and we all have cramps and we all have back aches. And like, I know that's hard to believe. You think that like our lives are just so fun and we're always inspired and all that stuff. And it's just not true, right? We're just like you. We have the exact same bullshit days and shitty attitudes all the time. It's just, you got to push through.
Right. I think the difficult thing for people to understand, at least for me, for like the first 3 years, oh man, motivation, I was on fire, but I was motivated kind of by like different things. So more so of like, I want everyone to think I'm strong. I want to look this certain way.
Yep.
And now that I don't care much about that, I still have these like goals within the, you know, I have to do this. This is what I do. These are my goals. It's not very inspiring, or I'm not like, well, like some days will like great fun days at the gym, but it's not about fun. It's not that I have very consistent friends. Duh, we're going to the gym. It's just like, well, what gym are you going today? Well, I'm going to this gym. I'll see you in a couple of days. A different
yeah.
Gym. You know, like it's not like
motivations
that anymore.
Change.
It's
goals change. So you just have to sort of find that reason, that why, and it changes every few years. So in the beginning, like she was saying, maybe you want to be thin or whatever, and that changed. You want to be strong. And so the thing is, do you really though? Because if you really do, you have to understand that it's a long process.
Yeah.
So just take comfort in that, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not a 6-month transformation progress.
Yep.
Process. It's not a 6-week boot camp. It is a 3, 5, 6, 10-year long process of finding, you know, your weaknesses and imbalances, mm-hmm. and fixing them, and then growing physically and emotionally and fixing your technique. And there's always going to be things to change. Mm-hmm. And then one day, 5, 6 years later, you go, well, shit, I'm really strong now. And you wonder, how did I get here? It must have been all that motivation. No, it was just that you went one foot in front of the other. And as your goals shifted, you shifted your direction, and you just continue to look at the work that's right in front of you, the workout that's tomorrow's workout, today's workout, and don't get caught up in what we're doing and thinking that you need to be there tomorrow, because that's not going to happen likely for some people. And don't get caught up in the Steffies and the whoever. Just focus on you and your work today and this workout.
Right. And what a lot of people ask me is, how do you deal with a bad workout or a bad day? And it's like, well, you know, maybe three
tomorrow.
Or four years down the line, you'll realize that bad workouts happen all the time. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You have one tomorrow. Like, it's going to be okay. It doesn't define how strong you are or anything.
Or the process.
Or the process at all. It's part of the process. So get over it. And, you know, maybe next workout or next month will be better.
But next year will be more bad workouts.
Right. So
I agree.
Just know that, you know, don't let one bad workout lose your motivation, because there's going to be so many.
And in the beginning, I think there's a lot of good days, right? I mean, I just had somebody the other day say, I've only gone up 20 pounds in my bench, and I went up 50 pounds in, oh no, this was in one of the blogs. I went up 50 pounds in both my other lifts, but only 20 pounds this past year in on my bench. What am I doing wrong? I was like, fuck my life. Like, if I could go 20 pounds in 3 years on my bench, I'd be fucking stoked. But, you know, it's just a perspective. And I think that that is like sort of a training age too. When you're new into it, I think you expect this to keep just going. And then once you hit a wall, that's when I think you do question your motivation. Well, is this me? You know, and then you really have to stick with it and tell yourself like, okay, I want to powerlift because it does more than just define me on my strength. At least for me. And I tell people that, as far as like motivation goes.
I think that's kind of where it's like really important to find your why. Like when you hit the wall and like you injure your knee or you injure your back, or you just really don't want to fucking do anything and you just want to sit on the couch because you're depressed.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you really have to know what your why is.
Yeah.
Because like at this point, like I just don't have a choice. Like I could go to the gym, or I could like, you know, stay home, or no, I can't. I literally can't even stay home. I can't even fathom what the fuck I would do if I didn't go to the gym.
For money anyway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh great, I could go back to being a secretary. Wait, I could go back to waiting tables in Iowa. Like,
or you could just be like completely out of shape and hate yourself and not
literally
lower energy. Yeah.
I could go back to Iowa and wait tables.
I would want you to lift if you were back to Iowa.
No. Like that's it. But it's just like what else what the fuck else am I gonna do?
Right. And I'm excited for my clients to listen to this podcast. I train mostly beginner power lifters, and they start in that stage of all that super fast progress.
Yep.
And once it starts to slow down, they get so discouraged on themselves. And I love when they break out of that and realize this is it's just training life. That's what it is. It's not all about your first meeting this big PR. That's just a start.
I always think like when they hit that mark, it's like
these perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like they get, once they hit that mark, then you've made it. Like you're not a newbie anymore because now you hit that benchmark and now you're with all of us really scraping to get by to get some good numbers. But yeah, that's so funny because that does happen a lot. All right, this one is specifically for the Puerto Rican, unless either of you are Puerto Rican. Are you girls Puerto Rican?
They are not.
Okay, so then it's just you, my Miss Hopper Rican.
Oh, no.
Being a fellow Puerto Rican, it's not bad, it's funny. I want to know, what Puerto Rican food do you like the best? And that's from G. Contreras. What is your favorite? What is your favorite Puerto Rican food? Do you have, oh, maybe you don't like Puerto Rican food.
Oh, never shut asked. Up.
A bad Puerto Rican.
Knows I love all like Caribbean food. I love like my friend Anna Smash. I don't know if you guys follow her, but you should because she's the shit.
I was just talking to her this morning.
You just talked to her this morning? Yes. So did I. We have to keep this Puerto Rican connection going.
Yep.
But Anna and I always talk about our plantano power that we're fueled by plantains. So I definitely think tostones are like my favorite go-to like snack.
Yep.
And I found that if I make them in the air fryer, which I put on my story and everyone talks to me about it now, is like a super low fat way to make tostones and they taste so good, y'all. You have to try it.
Okay, so I haven't tried it in the air fryer. I hadn't tried it in the air fryer. And when you put that on, I was like, what?
Did you do it?
I did it. My mother-in-law has the air fryer. I went all fatty mode. I deep fried it.
You need to get one today. But, I mean, I like everything. But I would say the one thing that I eat most often is tostones now that I know how to make them without frying them.
Yeah.
But what's your favorite PR food, Heidi?
Pasteles are always going to be my favorite, you know, but I only eat my grandma's one. And in Hawaii, they call them pateles. They don't even say the S. And I always laugh about that because they just don't know how to say it right. But yeah, pasteles and arroz con gandule. I don't make gandule because... Yeah, my husband doesn't like gandula beans. So I make, yes, dude, I know. I said, he didn't like coffee either. It's like, how did I marry him? But I make Spanish rice, so I just don't make it with gandules. But that would be my.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes. Gandules are probably my favorite large pot dish. Mm-hmm. But I like arepas too, mm-hmm. a lot.
Do you?
All the stuff that I shouldn't be eating, basically.
Fuck yeah, so, arepas are so good.
Hashtag RP strength is probably not going to see this. So yes, I really like arepas and arroz gandules a lot. But thank you for that question. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, right? Well, before I let you guys go, I know that we had had a bunch of questions. And this time I was a little taken back by the questions when we had posted this picture. So we do, for those of you listening, we do every once in a while post a little golden mic. And when I posted that golden mic, I got a bunch of questions out there. And there seemed to be something that was going on with you and that I didn't know about. And I don't know if anybody knew about. Yes, you, the Puerto Rican in the middle. And I just wanted to see, you know, how's everything going? And maybe you can talk a little bit about what's going on with you personally.
Sure. Well, that was very kind of you because I did get a chance to take a little look at your comment section and it was pretty lit.
Yeah.
So thank you for being gentle with that. But, you know, personally and professionally, I have to first say I am so grateful for like my life and everyone in it for the most part. But, life is great. Okay, that's one thing I want to say. I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. That's why I haven't talked about a lot of these. I haven't talked at all about this issue on my own platform because I don't want to come off that I need to be victimized or that I want sympathy from my followers or the community. B, I also have so many other awesome things going on that it's not that I don't want to, I kind of don't have the luxury of using my Instagram and my social media to focus on some of the negative stuff because I've got so many things planned with new sponsors and new clothing that I'm dropping and a new website and all that stuff. So lots of good stuff happening and new clients, all that jazz. So I haven't
wanted to talk about it, but it, since you posted the Golden Mic and you asked for questions and I saw so many and it coincided with some news on my end, it is probably a good time to talk about it. And so basically, what month are we in, guys? It's almost May, right?
It's almost May.
So yeah. Like 4 months ago, 4 months ago now, all my girlfriends and I, minus Sierra, because Sierra was still in Hawaii, we were at the Fit Expo in LA. Long story short, Anyway, we were at the Fit Expo. We took group shot pictures like we always do. And
I competed.
Christy competed. And so did Aisha, who's not here right now. But Aisha and Christy both competed. Awesome. They both did great.
Awesome. Awesome time. Great meet. Rebecca was with a damper on
me. No, it doesn't put a damper on it at all. After the meet, we took great pictures. And one of those pictures was repurposed and used for a distasteful meme. I hate that word, by the way. But so it was just, it was a used as with a distasteful image, a porn image, and then a very lengthy, strange caption about mostly about me, but just generally about Fitspo type influencers and fake people and yada yada. Not that big of a deal. I did wake up to tons and tons of messages about it from friends and people that wanted to let me know that it was out there. I made a statement about it very professionally and never named anyone. Still to this day, we have not talked at all publicly about who made that post or who was behind that, because that doesn't really matter. And I asked everyone on my page to please not, if they do know who made that, please don't contribute to it. Don't attack that person. If you flag it, things like that, totally up to you. But I would suggest that's the way to deal with it. Don't get nasty and on their level. And that was all I planned to say about it. And that sort of spiraled into tons of posts being made. And long story short, it spiraled into me being posted about or sent messages to myself via tagging me or via direct messaging me for the next 3 months straight. And small breaks in between where I thought it would get better and go away, so I never really took the time to talk about it. But it got to the point where I would be posted about in real time when I was out here in Los Angeles at a gym. I would have a post being made of me in that space where I was still in the gym. It got to the point of people saying that I, you know, making death threat type of posts about me, memes that were using violence against me. Oh, it got to the point where people were making rants about me, and at large, just my group of friends and women that identify like me, who may look like me or dress like me. And by that, I mean provocatively or, you know, wear makeup and things like that. There was a lot of rhetoric being said about us in this really misogynistic, negative way, as a whole, just that we should be eliminated from powerlifting and from fitness and things like that, mostly powerlifting, I believe. And so it got to this place where I was feeling threatened and to be frank, like unsafe. And so, you know, I initially brought it up to the USPA because the person or people that started that situation were USPA lifters and coaches and officials, things like that. They had ties to the organization. And since there is a code of conduct in the USPA, I tried to use that as a way to maybe get these people, specifically these people, because they are local people, away from me and my friends so that we can lift safely. And that took its course. And of course, when you take action against people, then there's backlash to that.
Yeah.
And that backlash got worse and worse. And it got to the point where I felt the need to reach out to get some legal help. And so I did that. And the rest of it is, I will say, it's sort of confidential and private. And I don't want to get too far down into it. But what I would say is, One, I appreciate my friends, my family, and the community at large, the USPA, for supporting me on this. And two, that I want people to know that, you know, there's things being asked and said, like in your comment section, about why I would go so far or whatever, you know, alluding to the fact that I would look for attention. Yeah. In this situation, I want to pose this. It's just the facts. This is the first time I've ever talked about it. It's going to be the last time that I ever talk about it. I have never mentioned anyone's name, Instagram handle, location, gym, any of those things about any of the people that have done this to me. I am the only person in the situation who has had absolute silence about it. Neither have my friends, my family, my boyfriend, which is very hard for them.
Yeah.
I can speak for them and say that. It's very, very difficult for them. I have spent thousands of dollars on legal assistance, on taking time separately from the thousands of dollars. I have also missed work, missed sessions with my clients, missed opportunities with different brands because I decided not to post for a couple weeks or a week in general of no posting, but I felt it would be inappropriate for me to open up to do, you know, sponsorship posts, things like that, because I was very uncomfortable about being attacked.
Yeah. Wow.
So there's been a lot of loss for me here. There is nothing to gain of me taking action to protect my safety. And I would never go to those lengths if I did not feel unsafe in real life. And so I want people to know who are listening, who maybe don't understand the situation and are on the fence about how they feel about my reaction, to understand that I would, if I wanted positive attention, trust and believe me, I know how to get it. And doing this is not how I get it. This is simply and only an action for me to protect myself and my family because I feel threatened physically and unsafe. And I'm sure there's people listening or people watching that maybe know an individual that's involved in this on the other side of it. And perhaps they've gone to a gym with that person or they've lifted with them and they think that that person is, you know, a good, righteous, upstanding person. And that this all just got out of hand.
Yeah.
I want those people to think about it. If the tables were turned, understand that I don't know that person. I don't know them. And when I'm seeing violent images about myself, not just once, but upwards of 20 to 25 times in a day, when I'm seeing that type of thing made about myself and I'm seeing it over and over again, and I cannot escape it. I block someone, I get a new page. I delete something, I see another thing. And it's over and over again. People need to understand that I don't know who these people are. I can't vouch for them. And I have to do everything in my power to protect myself.
Yeah.
It's not about my brand or my page or my name. Sure, it sucks when people slander you. I suppose I could take people to civil court and sue them for slandering me. That's not what I did. I took a measure to protect my physical being and that of my boyfriend and our family so that we can feel at least like we have some sort of recourse if something does happen. It doesn't protect us. It just gives us an option to be protected if that's broken, if someone tries to physically harm me. It still doesn't protect me. And regardless of what happened in court or with my lawyer or whatever, what's going to proceed in the future, it doesn't take away the fact that I'm still suffering from anxiety. I'm still having panic attacks. I still cannot take clients at night. I still don't go to my car in the dark. My boyfriend still circles my apartment in the morning before he goes to work. These are things people probably don't hear or expect or want to hear because they think that these posts and trolling and harassment are jokes and they're funny and they might be to you on your side of it, but they have real world repercussions on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And I realize that my account is public, your account is public, your account is public. People can say whatever they want to us. I am no stranger to negativity. All you have to do is follow my stories to see how lighthearted I can be about negativity. Tell me I'm fat. Tell me I'm a man. Tell me I'm on this or I'm that. I hear it all day, Heidi. I fill those things, sometimes dozens of those comments a day. And I don't even block those people. It doesn't bother me that much. I'm not thin-skinned or hypersensitive. But when I feel like I'm being followed and that the people in my direct environment are threatening me, it starts to wear on you.
Yeah.
And I think that as women, you know, we're expected to brush things off as jokes a lot, especially female powerlifters. Oh, well, that's what you signed up for. You want to get big, you want to, you know, hang out with the big boys, then you got to take some criticism. Well, guess what? I do take criticism. Criticize me all you want, but you can do that in a way that doesn't make me feel that my safety's in harm.
Yeah.
Right? So that is where I'm at with the situation. I'm still working with my lawyer to make sure that I am protected. But we definitely, as my group of friends and my family, we want to put that behind us and move forward in the right direction. But I also want to make sure that other girls understand that, you know, it's not okay. You don't have to be okay with people sending you death threats or rape threats or things like that. I've heard some crazy stuff from other friends. Some of them have tons of followers, some don't. And it makes me sick to my stomach that we're in this point in our culture right now that this is so acceptable to treat people, women particularly, but people in general like this.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that some of the things, and I wanted to bring some of them out and show you, but I think it's just not right. I think it's just not worth, you know, glamorizing some of this disgusting stuff that was created about me. But I will tell you this, that I don't have to dig that deep to think about what a reaction would be if it were not me, if it were a younger girl with lower self-esteem or more unstable mindset, because I was that young girl. Yeah. I was hospitalized twice for 5150 when I was in junior high and high school, and I've written about it and talked about it very openly. A lot of people know that about me. I've struggled with clinical depression my whole life, and I'm at a very, very good place right now at 33, 34 years old. But if this were me at 16 or another young girl at 16 or even older who has a weaker, you know, self-esteem or maybe is a abuse victim like I was, this could not only cause harm from the person that's potentially threatening you, but this could open a can of worms of self-harm as well. So we just have to all take a moment and think about the things we're doing online and think about the responsibility we have as, especially as females, especially in the lifting community, to stick together and support one another. It's really taught all of us a lot about how we should conduct ourselves online. We've never trolled people in this way. We've never harassed people. I've never made a meme about anyone in my life. I don't know about you or you, but even though we're not actively out there trying to be, you know, these aggressors of negative content, we all had a moment where we thought about, wow, I'm going to think twice now about what I support. Pressing like, commenting, or sharing some of these images is honestly, it's not as bad, but we're definitely giving life to some of this negative, disgusting stuff that could be really harming people.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Yeah, I agree. And I, you know, it's like, even like Jim Fuckery, you know, that page I used to put our quarter squats or one of those ones. And I used to like be on the fence, like some of it's funny, but some of it's really like dickhead. And then one day I saw somebody I knew on there and he was such a nice guy. Like, no, he did not full squat. No, he was like, yeah, I did 400, but it was a quarter squat. They fucking ripped them a new asshole. And I was like, realized in myself, like, I am like just blindly watching all this, not putting two and two together, because that's what social media kind of does. It allows you to disconnect and, you know, hearing about all the people and all the tags. And I can't even imagine like opening up my phone and having all these images repeated over and over. And I think that people who have big followers or people who are often on, you know, like maybe like you guys, you know, they're sort of looked at as like not human in a sense where they called for it themselves. You know, it's like, oh, you want to put yourself out there, then that's what you get. I mean, this is like one of those comments I always say, it's like, oh yeah, you want to wear a skirt, then you deserve to get raped. That's an extreme comparison, but I'm saying like, there's still people too. And when I hear about a lot of this stuff happens, like a lot of times it's like people just don't, I don't know, they don't humanize they don't humanize people who might have a big following.
That's funny that you say that because, like I said, all of, I think, the people that were harassing me and creating or are harassing me, I don't know, are local people. Some of them I actually knew through the gym community, through the competitive community, and some of them I actually worked at the gym that they attended for years. And so it really was shocking to me. And it's funny that some of them still go to a gym that we attend on a regular basis, and Sierra takes clients up. And while we were at one of those gyms, Christy was able to, well, she was kind of forced into a corner where some of them were. And so she started to have a conversation with them. And partway through the conversation, she said, you know, I got to talk to you guys about what you've been doing online. And she can tell you what their response was.
Right. Well, I kind of told them that they had the power to kind of stop this. And it's getting to a point where, I know you guys think it's funny, but it's very threatening. It's just out of control. And I want to see them succeed in the gym is all have fun. We're all here for a good experience. And you guys have the power to stop. And, you know, they're kind of looking at the floor. And one of them said, like, man, you're really making yourself seem human.
Oh, my gosh. What a powerful statement.
Made that connection. It's such a different mindset because it's like, you know, if you have a problem with somebody, you confront in their gym. And I really don't think that they hate Amanda. I think people just jump on the bandwagon because they're like, oh, it's funny. I want to be a part of this group. And Now I ask myself why I think something's funny, why I'm following the page. If I share something, oh, am I jealous of the person? Am I just being like insecure? Is this going to be harmful for the person? I really think about that in myself now with everything I do online because of that. But that moment I was shocked and it made me kind of scared for like the culture of today of, you know, and I'm like, I see you guys all the time. I say hi to you every time I walk in the gym. We talked the other day about how your knee hurts, you know, stuff like that. And so
let's just be honest.
Right.
That is the beginning of what rape culture is. That is the root of the mindset of someone who has a hard time with the lines between reality and fake, right? Yeah. Someone who cannot see that she is a human being, and those are their words. Well, then what, right? So if you're telling me that you don't see me as a real person like you or your mother or your sister or your girlfriend, if they have girlfriends, right? So if you can't humanize her, then attacking her either online or offline really doesn't matter as much.
Right.
Because she's not real, right? And that might be harmless and benign when it's a funny little meme or a comment. But when you're talking about pictures of someone shooting themselves, right, you're mimicking self-harm, you're mimicking violence against women, and that's a slippery slope to go down.
Yeah,
and we feel so detached from it because it's an image, but I promise you, it's much different when it's you or your friend or your family. It's very different. And I just implore women to, you know, don't go along with stuff like that. And we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of seeing some bullshit online and going, ha, you know, and LOL, you know, and liking too, because it's someone that you may be friends with, right? Someone on your team, someone you work with. So you give them a like. Well, what if someone that you train, someone that you're friends with who suffers from severe depression, or someone that meme pertains to, sees that you like that type of stuff? Is that the image that you really want to be sending to the people in your life and for us, for our future clients or current clients? No, it's not. So it really does give me some pause, makes me think about my actions, not just what I post content-wise, but what I like, what I share, what I contribute to. But certainly what I post. I mean, there's been times where I'm very spicy, obviously, and my tag is, you know, strong and salty. Like, I definitely have opinions and I'm vocal about them. And there's some things where I look back a few years back in my history and I realize, you know, I should have just shut up. I should have just let that play out. Or instead of attacking someone for something they did or flippantly saying that they were wrong, maybe I should have hit her up and say, hey, what were you thinking when you did that? What was that choice all about? Because that's what community is about. It's about talking and outreach. But this idea that we're all separate and we're not human and we don't have feelings, that's not community. That's not what powerlifting is supposed to be. It's not what any microcosm is supposed to be. It's supposed to be about us reaching through the fourth wall, the screen, and having conversations with our fellow competitors and humanizing each other, because we are real people and we're all gone into this sport because for whatever reason, we probably felt some sort of emotional baggage in our life.
Yeah.
It's not normal to want to squat 500 pounds.
Yeah.
It's not normal to want to crush yourself weekly with weight. So we all come into this with some emotional baggage, including the people that attacked me. I understand that they want to lift and power lift probably because of the fact that they have horrible social skills, which they clearly do. I get that. And I want that for them, but I want to be safe as well.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to use, powerlifting as their outlet without having to attack other people and make other, especially other women, feel unsafe. Yeah. I don't think that's too much to ask, and neither does the USPA.
When you do stuff on the internet, it has real life, consequences.
Yeah.
It does, and it needs to stop. It affects people in real life.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. Go ahead, Sierra.
Oh, okay, go ahead. No, you can.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think that's one thing I always hear is that, in cases like this where there's a picture or a meme floating around, it's always like, it's just a picture. It's just a meme. Just shake it off, and you taking it too seriously or da 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 da. And I think that it's pretty evident now with the way we find children who are depressed. Suicidal rates for young people are up. To me, that there's a correlation between that and things that are happening online with social media. And to say that, you just shake it up. Oh, it's been done. Don't even, to say these things, I think is naive. And I think that you are not giving enough value to how this can affect people. And it's a scary thought to actually think, all right, well then if I really have to think that this is something that would affect people, that means I have to be very conscious of my behavior, like you're saying, of what I like, what I share, what I'm laughing to, and I think that is threatening for some people to actually think, well, that actually relates to the kind of person I am. It's not, I was just laughing
right.
at it. No, you're, this is actually now part of who you are and your personality. I think that. I personally do. I don't know if you guys do, but I think that some people are like, they sort of try to detach it, but I think it's so intertwined.
They think there's anonymity in their handle.
Right.
That when they log on, that they are a different character. And I often hear people say, I'm sure all three of us do, when they meet me in person at a meet or at a convention or whatever in the gym, people often say that one phrase of you're just like you are on Instagram, which is like mind blowing to me because of course I'm just like I am on Instagram. I'm not a trained actress.
Yeah.
I am a power lifter. I'm a certified personal trainer. The closest I got to an actor was doing their makeup when I was 20. You know what I mean? I'm not an actor. This is not a personality.
Yeah.
Now I know the lines are blurry because I have a business. And I get that I have to act more professionally than some of them do if they have a 9-to-5 job. I understand that, but I am still the exact same person. And so I think people, especially adults, I don't know how they feel like they can go to a 9-to-5 job in like a hospital or an office and then go online and do these like sort of really questionable things, like posting memes and all that kind of stuff. We need to understand that this has global repercussions for your whole life. I mean, people ask me all the time why T doesn't post on Instagram. Well, T is going to medical school next year, and that application process is very stringent for good reason. He also currently works at UCLA Hospital. So, he has to uphold some sort of professionalism. And when you go to apply for medical school, or when you become a physician, you get a DEA license, or when you go to nursing school, like your boyfriend, you're subject to getting your social media look through.
I just had this conversation with somebody, and she doesn't have her real name on her handle, One Strong Doc, because she said that they're recruiters. She said that she's like, recruiters will come and they look, and I go, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, no way, because I asked her, I don't even know your name. And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't put it on there for the exact same reason.
100%. I mean, her and T have had that talk many times together.
Oh, that's so
funny. And I warn my friends who want to go into professions where, like medicine, that this will come back to you at some point, good or bad. So, you know, that we have to think about this. We're still in the early stages of social media and the internet and all that stuff, even though the internet's been around for a couple decades. The law and, you know, HR departments and all that stuff, our system at large is still catching up. We're still way behind. Yeah. So what I would say is, you know, and so is powerlifting. I conversate with the president and vice president of USPA on a pretty regular basis now, and they've both told me that they're still trying to figure out where to go with this whole code of conduct when it comes to the internet, because it's very complicated.
Yeah,
But what I will tell you is, if you hold, like these two do, positions of state or national reps, or if you have a certification with USPA or USAPL or any federation as a coach, you bet your ass you're going to be held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
Because if you're out there posting memes about shallow squats and it has a picture of a member of the USPA, you should not be judging.
No.
Because you're biased, right? If you're harassing women online and making rapey type of jokes about them, you shouldn't be allowed to coach women under the guise of the USPA.
Yeah.
That is flat out just not appropriate.
It's just because you're a reflection of the organization that you represent.
Right. And I feel like if you care about powerlifting, I want it to be fun. I do it because it's fun for part of it. But I also want to be taken seriously. Yeah. Like, it's fun. We can like talk about like being fat powerlifters. We can talk about, you know, like powerlifters are like this and that. But like, this is out of control. I want it to be taken seriously and powerlifting to go further and more people to join. This is doing the opposite.
Yeah.
The exact opposite. I want this to be, you know, taken seriously.
And
it's an awesome sport.
A big part of what people that were harassing me were saying was exactly the opposite of what you were saying. They were in fear that more women like us would join the sport. That was literally some of their verbiage in video, was that, you know, we've got to make powerlifting hardcore again. I have news for you. We're very hardcore, and we are very accomplished lifters, and there is nothing wrong with the way that we dress, the way that we style our hair, the amount of makeup we wear should have no reflection on how good of a lifter we are. And I find that that's another very slippery slope of misogyny when we are trying to push out a whole group of people. And let's be honest, that group of people is women. That's what it is. This went from an I hate Amanda campaign to let's just get all the sluts out of powerlifting. Mm. That was the literal verbiage that we were being, you know, people were saying to us on a regular basis.
It's so crazy. I had like no idea. It's so crazy.
We had no idea. We've had nothing but positive response to us being in the sport from the federation to fellow lifters to other coaches. We have a very good experience. We're not feeling sorry for ourselves. Please understand that. We don't feel sorry for ourselves. We have a very cool life. We literally love our lives, okay? But this type of nonsense is not just localized to me.
Yeah.
I represent to these certain people, to this small group of people, a threat that looks much like all the girls that are listening to your podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. And we should not be discouraging women of color, women who want to dress provocatively, women who want to wear makeup. You know, those are dog whistles. It's basically what they don't want is feminine women to be a part of this sport.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to happen. But what we need to be aware of is this type of verbiage like Christy said, it could be actually keeping people from signing up for a meet or from hiring a coach or joining a strength gym. How many times do we get a new client intake form and they train at a Planet Fitness because they're scared of this type of behavior in powerlifting gym?
I actually have a female client who has this kind of shit happen to her at her gym, at a strength training gym that like claims to be like they're on the Girls Who Powerlift page, and my client gets
a safe space.
Thank you. And she'll like send me videos of men at her gym saying, "You record too many videos. Next time you record a video, you're going to see my bare ass in the background because you like shouldn't be recording in the gym."
Right.
I mean, and this is like men at her gym, and like the owner can't like won't do anything about it.
Oh, you know, that would take everything in me to not put that phone down and say, "You go fuck yourself. Let me see that white ass and let's like, prance it around." Like, oh my gosh.
Any of us would. Any of us would.
But nobody, like, yeah, other people.
Us. Our clients don't look like us. Our clients are versions of us from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Our clients are young or older. They might have kids. They might be in high school or college, and they are not confident. They find us through Instagram because they're not confident. Ugh, they hear about our
stories. It breaks my heart when I hear stuff like that.
But it's a reality. That is literally, if you looked at our roster of clients, I would say all three of us, I can speak for myself completely, 85% of them are women that are, and for me, they're all women of color who are intimidated by this space and by this sport. And what I want people to understand is I'm not trying to spout off my mouth all the time just out of my own interest. I am not in fear of a lot of things, okay? In this situation, I am in fear. And what made me speak out about it is the fact that if I'm in fear, me, think about how my clients would feel.
Yeah.
Think about how your daughters would feel.
Yeah.
I am scared. I'm not lying to you. I am scared. Okay. I'm having a tough time, but it's nowhere near what our young clients would feel if this was happening to them.
Yeah.
And we all need to band together for a moment. I know it's hard for us bitches to get ourselves together, but we need to get ourselves together and fight against stuff like this. When you see it in your feed, don't just scroll past. That's not enough.
Yeah.
You need to report it. You need to screenshot it, send it to the USPA, send it to anyone in, you know, that you can to let people know that it's not okay.
Yeah.
Unfollow those people, block those people, isolate those people so they can do that in their own space.
Yeah.
That's for them, but it's not for us. I'm sure there are good people at that gym in Tennessee. I'm sure there's good people at that gym, but it just takes one person to spoil it for everybody. And so if somebody just goes and isolates that person, like, "Hey man, we're not about that."
Yeah.
That speaks volumes, because that girl, I can tell you, because I've talked to her, that girl is not confident enough to do that.
Yeah. And I think you're right by saying 10 years ago, like if I was early in my like lifting, I would never, I would just be like, I would probably walk out.
How many times I've gotten a text from her telling me that she left the gym in tears?
Oh, all the time.
Gosh, it's very close to me. That's why I'm like sweating, just imagining where this gym is.
Yeah, we're gonna go out there.
We're going out. I'm going out for sure in August.
I will see you there because I am very close.
I'm in favor.
And I'm gonna go to this freaking gym and I'm gonna see these people. And the worst thing is, it's like, it's not just guys. There's like girls that are with them. And let me tell you this. She asked her to work out with her and she said, "Yeah, okay, like I'll be there." And then she was asking her for a handoff. And she's like, "I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming to the gym anymore because I'm on meat prep and I don't have time for this." And then she like goes with this dude and they like bully her. And I'm like, "Dude, we're women. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Not sticking. Like, when were you ever in the gym where it's like, what, you always..." Like, the thing is, she's not even elite. Like, she's just some chick who, like, wants to be accepted with this guy.
It's just the culture. Well, the culture in the internet or whatever the culture of the gym. And if the culture of the gym is like that, you know, and you also want to fit in, you're going to start, you know, sharing those memes or liking or commenting or being like, "Oh, yeah, I don't like that person either."
Yeah.
It's part of that culture, to be inclusive, it's so much easier, right? So, you know, of those guys are the cool guys banging the weights out. You know, you want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
But if you kind of step back and look and say, "That's not who I want to be hanging around with.
Yes.
I don't want to be friends with those people. Why don't I share those? That stupid stuff. I want to be like,
it's just up to us.
Unfollow, block, you know, you can work on your own."
If you're in a position to speak up about it. And so not everybody is.
Yeah.
Our clients aren't. And so that's why we are choosing to use our platforms and our voices to speak up about it, because it's not right. But we also understand not everybody is in the position to have the confidence to do so.
Yeah.
I know that my confidence puts me in a privileged position. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that I'll be able to recover from this anxiety that I'm experiencing right now. I know that I have a support system of good friends and a great man to back me. I have the support of, you know, my federation. I have that. I want other women to know that they can have that too. Yeah. It may not be in their gym, but they can reach out to us. They can reach out to other women in strength who will have their backs and understand that it's not okay to be treated like that.
Yeah.
And be brave enough to not contribute to it.
Yeah, and I think that's so a big one.
That's the biggest thing.
It really is. And it really shows a lot of character when I see girls that are willing to. In this situation, I have people that have messaged me, dozens of people, and I'm sorry that I haven't been able to get back to them. I just want to say that here. But I have been able to answer a couple of them from people that know individuals that partook in harassing me. And I've shared a couple of them with you guys and how heartfelt they were about, hey, I unfollowed that person and I just want to let you know I don't condone behavior like this. And that's super powerful.
Yeah.
It's super powerful to be able to step away from negative toxic behavior, not because you want clout.
Mm-hmm.
I love that word, by the way. Not because you want online attention. That woman who sent me that message got nothing out of sending me that, yeah, except for a peace of mind, knowing, letting me know that she was standing with me and that she supported me and she understood that I was going through more than a lot of people saw online.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that means so much. Just reaching out to someone and letting them know that you see what's going on and maybe you're not in a position to say anything, but I'm here for you if you want to talk. Because we all see it happening, and a lot of times we're just not brave enough to say something.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been an extremely fortunate thing for me to get that type of support from the community. And I want to thank those people who've done that. And I hope that we can walk forward now in a different direction. I know I've grown from it, and my girls have grown from it. I'm still not resolved, and I'm sure after this happens that I'm sure I'll still get more of it. And that's fine. It's going to happen. I'm doing all I can to protect myself in real life. But the bottom line is we have to do better. We have to be better people to each other. And this sport is so small, and it's such a tiny microcosm of people. And it's really just honestly, Heidi, this is just a test pool of like the greater culture at large.
Yeah.
So this is happening here in powerlifting. I'm sure it's happening at every high school in America. It's happening at college campuses, the military. It's everywhere. But yeah, but I want the girls in strength to know that I'm here to support them, that we know that it's not right. And if they're looking for support or help, we can be that support for them.
Yes.
They need to be silent about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's wonderful. And I think that's, you know, that's the point of this podcast as well, is to sort of reconnect women with women, because I don't know how many women I've known that have like one follower and they went on about how powerful somebody's story was for them and how they've been struggling. And to me, those are the small things that will help and will spread kindness and love throughout this community, hopefully, and not where it's heading right now. And if that means not hardcore, I'm okay with that. You know, I think that you could still be hardcore and still have love for each other, you know?
Right.
And I'm so thankful for you to share your story with me and everybody that gets to listen. And thank you guys for coming on and answering some questions and being real. And I like that, you know, because that's all I ask for people to be on here is just be real and share your story. And hopefully that, you know, our listeners will get something out of this. And if you have, you let us know. You know, you reach out to these women here. And if you are struggling at your gym with your family, I've had women tell me that their families aren't supportive or their spouses. You know, reach out to us, because I think we've all experienced something in some way that might be able to help you. And sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, right? You know, there isn't any, I mean, how often do we see powerlifters and then powerlifting women? You know, they're not, maybe in your community, but I'll tell you right now, they, you guys, but no, I mean, like, listen, I'm like, I that's why we do free open gym on Saturday for powerlifting. Cause I was like, listen, there's powerlifters here, but they are spread everywhere and they all come together. We all come together. And now my gym has more female powerlifters than males, which is like, it's so awesome. I'm like, look at this board. It's like the women's one is all filled. And then the guys is like just there. Not that it's any not, but I think it's wonderful that, you know, that we still foster this environment where we want to help each other out. And I,
100%. And this sport is growing in general. I mean, I can tell you, I just talked to the USPA yesterday, 2 days ago, and they said that there's actually 4 more women registered for drug tested nationals this year than men.
No shit.
250. Yeah. So it's really rad. Like it's awesome. Really, really cool to see how large this population is, how fast we're growing. We're the fastest growing segment in strength sports right now is women. So, you know, at the same token though, since we are such a large portion of the sport now, we have more power in our voice.
Yes.
But the only way that we will get things moving in the right direction for women to protect our rights and to give us an equal playing field is if we stop fighting with each other.
We
have to support one another in order to gain more presence for all of us. So,
well, thank you ladies so much for your wonderful time. Take some wonderful pictures at the, take some wonderful pictures at the current. I wish I could be there. I've been wanting to make it to any of these kind of things, but you know, when you have 3 kids and that other life. Yeah. And then one of my kids is sick. And so it is what it is.
But. We'll come to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, I'm going to Ireland for USPA Worlds.
No, we're not going.
What the fuck, dude? Come on now.
It's too expensive.
So there was a flight for like $400 from Birmingham. No joke. Like I've been filing deals and like all kind of stuff. So I'm making it happen. So it's going to be a thing with me and my husband because we don't often, you know, get to do stuff. So it's going to be like our thing. The kids will be dropped off and it's going to be fantastic.
Okay. It'll be a good time. We'll send us pictures.
Yeah, I will. You guys have a wonderful time today.
Thanks, ladies.